guys so much for sharing. All right, you guys ready? All right, let's dive in the Word. Open up to 1 Peter. We'll finish up chapter 2 this morning, and I'm excited at where the Lord has led us. And as we dive in, I just want to remind us that where we have been, we have talked about, and as we've dove into 1 Peter, it's called us to be different, Peter has. And we've looked at that we are to be different, we're to have a different kind of faith, we're to have a different set of values that we live out in our lives, we're to have different longings as we long for the Word of God, which is eternal, and we're to have a different calling. We are called, set apart, we are royal priests, we are a chosen nation, and so therefore we are to live that out. Today, he gets very practical and talking about how this being different is lived out. And so over the next couple of weeks, we'll see some practical ways that because of who we are, this is what it will look like to live in the world that we are living. And so it will be very difficult. But I want to remind us of the call upon our lives. Remember that we are called to abide with Jesus. We are to walk with him. We are to know him. We are to seek and to allow him to live in our lives, but ultimately to be lived out through our lives. As we'll see today in the Word, I just believe that you are and will be in many cases the closest thing to Jesus that the lost world will experience until they give their life to Jesus. We are not considered unreached here in Skytook because you live here. Now, Thailand, where the Penningtons were, they are considered unreached because there were not very many, if any, specifically in the villages that they went to, Bible-believing, teaching, Jesus-following people. But because of where you live, your neighbor is not unreached because you live near them, okay? And so with that in mind, I am to abide in Jesus. He is living in me and should be living out through me. I am to be connected with other believers. This is why we do small groups. This is why this is the strategy as a church that we have in the way of reaching our people is that as we are connected, we will come together. We will talk about this this faith and this life that he has called us to, and we'll encourage one another to live that out in our day-to-day lives. And ultimately, we are to share in the mission. So we are to abide. We are to be connected with each other, but for the purpose that we Is this working? All right. So this is what we are connected for. We are, and what we are called to. We're to abide, connect, and ultimately share in the mission. And so our purpose here at First Skytook is to connect people to Jesus. His word. We are to connect people to his truth. We're connect people to his family and ultimately to his mission. And so this is what we are called to do, and this is what we are doing. Now, in thinking about this, you know, so many times we hear and I think misunderstand that we feel like that we are to be, that the sole purpose of our lives is that we are to have eternal life. And you know, that is one of the blessings of getting to know Jesus is that we get to be with him, not only now, but for eternity. But that is not the end all, because I believe that if that was it, that the sole reason is so that we could go and spend eternity with him is that as soon as we gave our lives to Christ, he would have brought us on home right then. But he has left us here. He has left us here with a mission and with a purpose, and that is to make him known. And so when we look at all that Jesus has done in our lives, as we've talked about, as Peter has walked us through and helped us to see that we are different, we're called, we're chosen, we're set apart, we are have this different set of values that we are to live, we long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God, all of these things, it is for a purpose, and that is so that people will glorify God and that they too will know Him. And I'm just afraid that at times we don't own that mission. This is why last week when we looked at that we are called royal priests, you are a priest. You are a priest. You are set apart to do the work and to be obedient to God. And in that, it's going to mean that it will require you to move your lips at times. It will require you to understand that you are to be holy because He is holy. It will mean that you are connected to Him. And as when Jesus died upon the cross, the veil in the temple was torn, meaning that no longer do we have to have someone go into the holies of holies on our behalf, but now we have access to the presence of God. And because of that, we must go to it, go to the Lord and spend time with Him, open His Word, dive in, seek to understand, but continue to grow and proclaim Him to others. Amen? And so, when we see that and understand that, it brings us to where we are in 1 Peter. And so, just in honor of the Word of God, if you wouldn't mind standing as we read. This also keeps you awake. It's really hard to sleep while you're standing, so it's another reason why we stand. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to start, we're actually in at verse 13, but I'm going to start in verse 11. So, chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Don't miss this. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Isn't that so good? Such a challenge to us that we live in such a way that even if they were to try to speak something against you, they couldn't. Verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subjects to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God. One endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Father, we thank you for your word. There is so much truth. There is so much application here to our lives. Help us as we dive in to see it, to apply your truth to our lives, to live it with every action and every word. I pray, Father, that we would see that we are to live in such a way, honoring the authorities in our lives, and that, Lord, we would bring you glory and point others to you in all that we say and all that we do. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So here he gives us, or at least starts to give us, some examples of what it means and what it looks like to live in being different, with this different faith, this different calling, this different values. Now here is what some examples of what it looks like. And so here, the first one I want us to see, and I believe here he points to, here in verse 13, is that we're to submit to the governing authorities. Or, as the words of Peter here, we are to be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. In submitting to the governing institutions or to the governing authorities, this is one that initially we think, how in the world would Peter, or why would he have said this? I mean, if he would have known what type of leaders we had today, there's no way he would have said something like this, right? Or we come to it and be like, if he would have realized the type of mandates that they're trying to put on us or the type of thing, I mean, he wouldn't have said something like this. But I want to remind you of the emperor at the time in which this is written. I want to remind you, even to the people in which he is writing to, those who are dispersed or spread out because of the persecution that is coming from the governing authorities of his time. The Roman Empire has now brought about such a persecution. Just to remind you, there are Christians that are being arrested. They are being beat. They are being stuck on the end of poles and dipped in wax and lit on fire to light the courtyard of the emperor. They are being wrapped in animal skins and dogs sent out to kill them. I mean, horrible persecution is going on at this very time. And the encouragement that Peter gives to them is that they are different. You are different. You are called. You have a different God, and so therefore you have a different way in which you are to respond to the governing authorities. In our day, I can think about the ways in which, and I just, you know, in my lifetime, when I think of government, I mean, there are some crazy things going on right now, right? And listen, we can be like the world and we can join in the disgust and the trash talk against our authorities. We can do that. But I want to tell you, we're called to be different. And in being different, we are called to subject ourselves and to honor those who are in authority. And so, how are we to do that? What are we to do? This word subject, here in the Bible that is used, it means to arrange under, to put in subjection to subject oneself, to obey, to submit to one's control. It is a word that is picturing that we would literally submit to the authority of the people who are in control, and even mentions some of those. Nero was the emperor at the time, and so he even mentions him as being one in which they are to subject themselves to. We see with the example throughout Scripture that even as some of the disciples are arrested, they go willingly. They don't put up a fight. They don't tell their buddies to grab their swords and you know, defend themselves, but they subject themselves to the authorities. Now, this is conditional. This is unless or knowing that there is also an ultimate authority, and so they will subject themselves to unless it goes against the Word of God. Amen? We see this lived out even in recent days when the mandates upon churches started to come, as to where we could not meet, knowing that we have also a higher authority, the Word of God, and God himself, and telling us not to neglect gathering together as some do. And so the initial reaction was that we don't really know what this virus is, and so we will take the wisdom of those, and we did. And so churches everywhere closed and began to go online or meet that way. But it became evident that this was not going to be something that would be quick, right? And so the longer it went, decisions had to be made. Who are we going to honor? Are we going to honor those and what they have said to us, or are we going to honor the Word of God and what He has called us to? This is why we began to gather not too long after, is because we know that we have a God who is in control, and He has told us what we are to do and given us a clear command. Now, for some, specifically in California and other areas, that there became fines upon churches that if they met and did not adhere to that, and they continued to do so, even in the midst of severe fines. Now listen, I just want to tell you, we have experienced that, and not us in particular, but I'm here to tell you, it may get worse in the days ahead. And if it does, we are still going to honor. We are still going to be obedient to our God and what He calls us to do. As your pastor, I just want to tell you that there will not be a government entity that tells me what I can preach and what I cannot preach. I will be obedient to the Word of God. And now listen, there may be a cost to that. We may lose tax-exempt status. Big deal. Right? Our trust isn't in that anyway. I may be arrested, or some of us may be arrested. And you know what? We will go willingly. But I just want to tell you that here in Peter's letter to the churches that are scattered, he tells them to be subject to the governing authorities and to honor them. Other places we see Paul says to pray for them. And I don't care which side of the aisle you stand, we need to be praying for our leaders. And so, what does this look like? In honoring or submitting to the governing authorities, it means that we keep the speed limits. And I just want you to know, as someone who has been driving 45 minutes each way for a while now, that has not been something that I can say that I've done well at. But I want to. I want to be one who honors. It means that we pay the taxes. And we do so willingly, and I want to just say this, with integrity. However that lands upon you in your life, I just want to tell you, you do so with integrity. Knowing that you are one, Jesus and the Word of God tells us that we are to give Caesar what is Caesar's. Jesus at one point even, we see he pays his taxes and sends the disciples on and through the mouth of a fish, they pay their taxes. We see that example. And so we are to honor those and the authorities that have been set up. We are to be respectful to those in authority. Listen, we live in a day and time that is bringing disrespect to the police officers and to the first responders, and pointing out that they are corrupt. And now listen, we can believe and see that there will be some who will be self-centered and may even have some prejudices and stuff, but that does not give any of us a reason to be disrespectful to the authorities that have been placed in our land. And so if and when you are pulled over or discussed or have a conversation with our authorities, you and I both need to be very respectful, very honoring, because they are authority that has been set up in our land. So these are ways that we honor them. I just want to, and I want to be cautious when I say this, but with the greatest of truth, you and I are a part of something far greater than the United States. We are residents of the kingdom of God. And because of that, as we look at history, there may be a day that this power, world power, that called the United States may fall. I just want to tell you, we see that throughout history. Now, Rome was the longest one who reigned for several hundred years. But I just want to tell you that every kingdom that has risen up has fallen. And so one day this one may. And I just want to tell you that we have a God who is still in control. And we must understand that we are called to be a part of that kingdom, to set our minds upon that kingdom. And listen, we must be careful because we live in a culture that says you need to fight for your rights. But we have an example of one who laid down his rights for the sake of the lost. And we must understand what God has called us to. And the clear command is that we subject ourselves and submit to the governing authorities. Look at verse 13 here. He says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake." I love that. "To every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governor sent to him to punish those who do evil or praise those who do good." I love verse 15. Listen to what it says. "For this is the will of God. For this is the will of God, that by doing good," this is a way or an example in which you show or model of who you are is by submitting or subjecting yourself to the governing authorities, "but you will should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." And so, a question that I just have is, what is your relationship to people in authority? How do you look to them? Flip with me, hold your spot here, and flip with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 1. "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities." Sounds much like 1 Peter, right? "For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Did you hear what God just said right there? That every authority that is in our lives has been set there by God. And so therefore, if you and I resist that authority, we are resisting what God has instituted. And so your relationship with the authorities in your life then coincides with your relationship or your obedience to the one and true God. As a youth pastor, one of the ways that I taught this is that every single one of us has an umbrella of authority over our lives. For students, that is their parents mostly. It could be teachers, coaches, other adults in their lives. But we have an umbrella of authority that I believe that God has set up for our protection and also for our maturity. And as we learn to submit ourselves to that protection and to that authority, that it will then help protect us from the flaming darts of the enemy. And so when we, or as students, and I believe even as adults, when we try to live our lives out from under that authority that God has set up, then comes many attacks against us. When we try to go our own way, when we try to do our own thing. Now listen, it doesn't always mean that those authorities in our lives are going to be followers of Christ. And so they too are also under an authority, right? My parents are under the authority of God and therefore will stand before God in how they raised me. And I would say the same thing for you, parents. You had an authority as your parents and other adults in your life, but now as a parent, you have the authority of God and His Word and how He has told you and commanded you to lead your kids. And so we do so with that integrity and make sure that we don't live our lives out from under. But the same is true with the authority of our land. We are to live our lives under that authority in which God has set up for our protection and ultimately for our good. And we trust Him in that. And we live our lives. I had a student, he was a junior, and he began to see this truth and this reality. And one of the things that he did, one night I remember I was sitting down with him and I was sharing with him and teaching him about the authorities in his life and about how he was not honoring his parents. And he made a commitment in that moment because God has spoken to his heart. He says, "You know what? you're right. Which I was shocked, right? But he says, I have not been honoring my parents. And he goes, I think that for the longest time, I've just assumed because they're not believers, I don't have to. Like, I can follow the Lord and just do what I think he wants me to do. And he says, I'm going to seek to honor my parents in everything that they say and everything that I do. And you know what he found as he did that? They saw a change in his life. And so therefore, they began to give him more freedoms than he ever had before, because then there was a trust that was built. And it completely changed their relation, his relationship with his parents, and still to this day. And I didn't mean to get on parenting too much there, but I think it's relevant because of the authorities that are in our life, and we're to trust them. Every authority is instituted by God. So the command is clear. Submit to the authorities. The motive, he says, for the Lord's sake. We do this in honor of the Lord. And then the reason is because this is the will of God. Do you see that? It is so good. Another thing that I want us to see is that we are to live with integrity as we do that. When I think about our community here in Skytook, this ought to be a better place to live because of the way, because you're here and because you live here. And so we live with integrity. Another thing that we do is we live with honor. One of the things that he mentions here is that we are to honor everyone. You know, I can honor anyone that I encounter because I've understood something that has brought so much freedom to me. Whether it be with my family, whether it be with the people I meet on the streets, whether it be with a homeless person who approaches, whatever the case is, I can bring honor because, first off, they are an image bearer of my God. They were made in his image, and God loves them just as much as he loves me. Amen? You see that? Another thing is that even if I don't agree with the way that they live their lives, so many times I think that we expect people who are lost to live like they are followers of Jesus. If I can understand who they are and even take the way that they live their life as an identification as to where they're at in their walk with the Lord, you know what it does? It then starts to break my heart for them. Because I get to then start to see, you know, they probably don't know the Lord. If they're living like this, they probably don't know the Lord. And so you know what it does is it draws me to them because I want to know them. I want to share with them Jesus. And so I will bring love to them. Whether it's a person who comes to our office seeking help, then every person that I sit down with, I share the gospel with. Listen, we can help you financially with your bills here, but there is something that will impact your life forever and eternity, and I will share with them the gospel. When I encounter, when I encounter people who are involved in a completely different lifestyle than we know that the Bible completely speaks against, you know what I do? I'm drawn to them because I want them to see Jesus. Here, their life, it's manifesting maybe in a certain lifestyle, but what they need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I will draw to them. And so listen, we can do one or two things. We can look at their sin and we can, oh my gosh, I can't believe they live like that. And we can distance ourselves from them and really have no ability to share the gospel with their lives because we've identified as one of them and so therefore we've pushed ourselves away from them, or we can allow their sin to break our heart for where they're at, and we can love them and draw close to them. We can even invite them over to our home and love on them in our homes, and we can give them the truth of the gospel not only with our lives but with our proclamation. Listen, if we are going to impact the ends of the earth, you and I have to see that we're different, which means that we're different in the way that we see people, in the way that we submit to the authorities in our lives. And so, we are to honor everyone. I love, and I've even used this before, but it's such a beautiful picture in John 8 where Jesus, a trap is set up for him, right? Where they bring a woman who is caught in adultery and they ask him what they're to do to her. And so he kneels down and writes in the dirt, and we don't know what he's writing there, but and then he tells the guys, who is without sin, to cast the first stone. And then as I believe he's kneeled down right next to this woman who has fallen on her face, and he says, "Woman, who is there that is condemning you? Where are they?" And she says, "There is no one." That included him. "Who is it that is condemning you?" And she says, "No one." Listen, if he who is sinless can take a woman who is living a completely different lifestyle than we know the Word of God would want for someone to, and he in that moment doesn't bring condemnation, then why should we? We must be careful. We are too quick to point our fingers at whole groups of people and say that, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe that," instead of approaching them in love and saying, "Listen, let me point you to not only where the truth of all life is found, but to where you and I can find the greatest joy and truly have life, and that is in Jesus." And so, I love that picture. He deals with her sin. "Go and sin no more." That will come. Those conversations will come. But we must love them. And we must, in loving them, we point them to Jesus. Second thing I want us to see is not only submit to the authorities, but to submit to workforce authorities. Here in verse 18, listen to what he says. "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God." Here, he is speaking directly to servants, probably household servants, and he's telling them to subject themselves in the same way, is so that they will see that they are different. Oh, you're different. Because there is something that is at stake far greater, and that is the gospel. He says, subject yourselves to him. And then he says, "What good is it that you're beat for doing bad?" No, no, no. If you suffer harm for doing good, he says, that is what the Lord will honor, because that is the example that you were given. And so, what does that mean for you and I? All of us, if we have jobs, we work in a place, and probably, unless you own your own business, you probably have someone that is in authority above you. I heard a guy say one time, a long time ago, and it stuck with me. He says, "I want to work in such a way that my superior looks good." And I was like, man, I like that, because that's selfless, right? That is, I'm working for the glory of my God, and I want them to look good. And so there are going to be times that you lay down your rights in a way that you can submit to the authorities in your workforce. Jesus gave us an example, and just in a way of time, I know I'm going to have to hurry here. Look at verse 21. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." This is the example of Jesus. He was subject to the people and to the authorities around him. When he was reviled or spoken against, he did not repay that with the same, but he lived in such a way to bring glory to the Lord. In many ways, this is the same picture as to heaping coals upon those who try to persecute you or try to say things against you. We live in such a way that they see Jesus in us. We have an ultimate authority, and that is God. And Jesus gave us that example of submitting to authorities. Listen, he had all authority. At any time, he could have called down legions of angels. At any time, he could have stopped the persecution or the punishment that he was enduring. He could have stopped the crucifixion. But he submitted himself not only to the authorities here on earth, but to the ultimate authority, which is his Father and his will. You and I, we must submit ourselves to the authority because we have an ultimate authority. One of the things that I know that in teaching my girls to honor the authority of Lindsay and I is that I am also teaching them that they have an ultimate authority and that they too are going to have to honor that. And so the ways in which you teach your kids and bring them up to honor authority in their life, listen, they have an ultimate authority in God in which they are going to need to follow and be obedient to. And so we must trust them. And then, just last thing I want to mention is that we have an ultimate mission. Not only an ultimate authority, but we have an ultimate mission, and that is to make him known. And so there is a reason why we submit to the authorities in our life. It's because eternity is at stake. There's a reason why we model this in our lives and at our workforce, we honor the authorities. It's because as we proclaim Jesus, they will respect those who they see are different. You're different. And because you're different, there is a different way that you respond to the authorities in life. And so trusting. And so just in the way of application, I will seek to honor God by living in subjection to the governing authorities, as long as it does not go against the ultimate authority. You and I must subject ourselves to him, and we must live that way. Second application, I will seek to allow Jesus to live in and through me as I honor those in authority in my job. The way that you respond at work to your authorities also points to Jesus. Allow him to live in and through you. And then, number three, I believe that we have an ultimate mission, and I will seek to point others to Jesus with my life and my proclamation. We have an ultimate mission and an ultimate authority, and so we trust him, and we live for him. One of the ways that we are reminded about who Jesus is and what he has done is by and through the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is one of, and at least for me personally, is one of my most favorite and to me one of the most worshipful times that we have as a church. And so I want to challenge you. Scott is going to come up and lead us in this time, but I want to challenge you as he comes to just get yourself before the Lord. One of the things that we are challenged to do as we take the Lord's Supper is to examine ourselves. To examine ourselves and to do it in a worthy manner. And so just in this time, I want to challenge you to get before the Lord and to begin looking at your life. Asking yourself, how have I been living for him? What have I been saying? How have I been speaking? Are people able to see Jesus in me?
I'd like to ask the men who are going